Welcome to the 8th episode of ETV Podcast Season 2. In this episode, we have with us Shakayla Forbes-Bell, a fashion psychologist and researcher specializing in the intersection of fashion, identity, and mental health. Through her platform, Fashion and Psychology, she has worked closely with several global brands to unpack the psychological impact of style and beauty. She has been featured in The Guardian, CNN, Who, What, Where, and more. In this episode, we speak with her about pursuing fashion psychology as a career, the story and intention behind her platform Fashion is Psychology, and the impact fashion has on us. We also speak with her about its importance, how fashion psychology promotes and nurtures a more inclusive fashion industry, and ways we can discover and identify our individual styles. We learned so much from this conversation, and we're so excited to have you listen to this episode. Thank you so much, Shakayla, for joining us today. I'm excited for our conversation because it was a topic that is new and exciting for me. But of course, I'd love to start by having you tell us a little bit more about what fashion psychology is, and then I'd love to hear your story after that.
Yeah, so fashion psychology is about applying scientific research and insights to every layer of the fashion industry. So a lot of the times we're not consciously aware of it, but our clothes impact us on so many different levels. It impacts the way we think, the way we behave, the way we feel. And of course, it impacts the way we connect with other people, how they judge us, how they perceive us, and how they allow us to, you know, interact with them and navigate this space. I always say that just by the simple act of getting dressed every morning, you've become an active participant in the process of fashion. So fashion psychology applies to everybody who wears clothes. We spend almost, I would say, 80 to 90% of our day in clothes. So it would be crazy to assume that they're not having a deeper impact on us, not just from the way we choose to style ourselves, but the things we choose to buy and consume. You know, psychology is at the root of it all. Me, it's always been two things I've been very interested in, you know, separately at first. I was always passionate about style. I used to love like fashion magazines and watching runway shows. But as I became more academic, at school, I loved psychology. I excelled in it. I loved understanding how people's behavior changes in different circumstances, how different influences can impact, you know, the way people navigate life and how they feel about each other and the way they behave. And of course, when I went to university, I discovered that there's an intersection between the two. So how people's outfits can influence their behavior and, you know, and vice versa. And I just think it was such a powerful thing that not many people were aware of. So a lot of these studies and insights were kept within the kind of bounds of academia. You know, people couldn't access these papers. They were hard to digest, hard to understand. So I kind of made it my mission to absorb all of this knowledge and to translate it in a language that people can access, you know, people can utilize for their everyday life. We have a lot of big topics in fashion about sustainability and feeling like we have so many clothes but nothing to wear, and feeling like we're not able to maybe express our cultures through what we're wearing because of social norms, and, you know, wanting to fit in and spending too much on clothes. Like, there's so many issues, and I really think that it all boils down to psychology and a change in the way we think about these things and the way we approach it as a society. And I feel like fashion psychology is so pivotal to that. So I wanted to kind of be a voice for this new area. And that's when, you know, my book came about, just from starting a blog and just by writing about it, I got the book deal. Yeah, that's always been my mission, to just get as many people to understand the value of clothes as possible.
I definitely want to get into sustainability and that link with, you know, fashion psychology. But before we get into that, can you tell us a little bit more about your platform and the intention behind the platform? You said you want to, make it simpler for people, what is some of the kind of conversation you're having on this platform, and who are the people you are speaking to with this platform?
So with fashionispsychology.com, I really wanted it to be as accessible as possible. I feel like before, a lot of the research into the power of clothes and uniform and dressing and consumer behavior, it was just kept to academics on a very high level. A lot of the papers that were popularized as well were conducted on Western audiences. So there's always been a cultural and maybe even a socioeconomic barrier to that. So I wanted Fashion is Psychology to be for everybody. I was very intentional with my language, that I wanted you to feel like you were learning something from a friend. So that's what I've done with my book as well, with Big Dress Energy. It's so accessible that you just feel like you're learning so much. You get all of the studies, all of the research to back it up. And, you know, you don't have to spend thousands and thousands and travel to the UK to get these insights. You know, I just wanted to speak to the everyday consumer, but also even retailers and brands have valued my insights. You know, I have clients with big global retailers, and I'm able to show them how they need to understand consumer behavior on a deeper level so they can connect more with their clients, and they can empower their consumers and their clients with the research and insights that they are buying smartly, and they're not returning a bunch of clothes, and they're not like putting a bunch of clothes in the landfill, and they're adding value to their brand. So it's really a two-way street. I think, honestly, I do think Fashion is Psychology is for everybody who wears the white clothes. So the only people I've excluded are nudists people. Very small group.
yeah, for sure. So you talk about the value of clothing and the value of each piece. We talk about it at Ikivi from a product point of view, in terms of the way it's made and the fabrics that are used and things like that. How does it relate to, from a psychology point of view, how does it relate for a consumer, the value of a product? How does that relate, or a product sitting in your wardrobe, for example, how does that relate to a consumer, and what does that mean for that consumer? Are we paying that attention to each product that we're buying? Is it in direct relation to what we're thinking, how we are, who we are as people? Can you tell us a little bit more in terms of a very real world perspective?
Yeah, I think a lot of this happens maybe below our levels of conscious awareness. One study I really liked found that when people were wearing t-shirts and then they were told that they were sustainable versus when they were wearing t-shirts that they were told were not sustainable. In the former, they felt happier. You know, they reported feeling a lot happier because I think they realized that there was a connect with their internal values and with the clothes that they were buying. And so there was that alignment with values and behavior. And I think that ultimately has a positive impact on our behavior. So there are going to be instances where we buy from brands that, you know, it has that connect with us, whether it's sustainable or whether it's from a designer that reflects our culture or a brand that reflects our values. I think when we have that alignment there, we're going to feel happy about it, whether we're conscious about it or not. But also another interesting study I found was conducted on, I think it was on Punjabi students, and it was looking at the impact of wearing cultural clothing versus clothing that kind of assimilated to the standard culture that they were in. And it was a longitudinal study, so it was conducted over a long time. And the researchers found that students who wore clothing that was reflective of their culture reported being happier and more satisfied. So again, it shows that even little things like wearing clothes that are symbolic of your values and your background and your identity, how that has a positive impact on you long term. So I think it just goes to show, whether we're aware of it or not, like the history of our clothes and their meaning. And, you know, even from a nostalgic point of view, I talk in the book about how I wear clothes from my late sister that she wore, and how it helps me connect to our relationship and our history that we have. Sometimes even if I'm not aware of it, I'm just thinking, oh, I'm borrowing something that is really nice. Maybe I don't have it my own self, but then throughout the day, it's reminding me of her and all of those good times. And I always say that, you know, within the fabric of every piece of clothing is kind of meaning and depth and history is sewed into it. And we embody all of those things when we wear it. I think it's more about what we should be doing is trying to bring those meanings to the surface so that we're more cognizant and aware of the value of our clothes, because then we'll be more likely to have a better relationship with it. And unintentionally, we'll all adopt more sustainable practices.
That's so beautiful. How do you feel it kind of, well, let me reframe that question. In today's world of, you know, extreme consumerism and brands kind of, or companies kind of pushing product to us in so many different ways, how can we as consumers make that choice to be more conscious and aware of these values when we're making purchasing decisions?
I think the easiest way to do it is to adopt my 4-3-2-1 rule to shopping. So I think it's just such a big question as well. And it's just such a, there's so many different ways we can do it. But I think with my 4-3-2-1 rule, it's just so simple. And it's an easy way to kind of cut through all of the noise when it comes to shopping. So 4, I say, think of your future self in 4 years' time. What are they wearing? How do they dress? And is the thing that you're planning to buy aligning with that best version of yourself? 3 different outfits that you can style this piece in, or different occasions that will stop us thinking of our clothes as being one and done. You know, we're buying something for an occasion and then we're going to get rid of it, or we posted that pic on Instagram so we can't wear it again. You know, if you don't think of your clothes as having longevity, then it's not going to be something that has true value. Mm-hmm. And 2 deep breaths. You know, when we are shopping, you know, we get that shopper's high, that dopamine rush that can stop us from making a cognizant, like a proper decision, because that dopamine is flooding our brain, making us feel good. And by the time that we get home, we might realize that, oh, it was actually the rush of getting something good rather than this actual piece that I bought. So take 2 deep breaths, calm down the nervous system. Don't give that dopamine a chance to kind of override your thinking. And then the same as well, a continuation of that is 1 good night's sleep. You know, sleep, every decision I think that is worth making is best to have to sleep on it, because it gives you a chance to step away from the rush of the environment. You know, MRI studies show that our dopamine actually releases in anticipation of going shopping. So that high feeling is not even related to the things that we're buying most of the time. It's just the experience of getting something new. So really out of that situation allows you to really evaluate and realize, like, did I just like the experience, or do I actually like the thing? And hopefully if you do like the thing, then you'll like it after one night's sleep and you'll realize that you made a very thoughtful, mindful decision, and it will be a piece that can carry you for many years to come.
How do you control that dopamine when you're shopping?
Again, like I said, it's 2 deep breaths. You know, you're always going to be bombarded with that FOMO, you know, the discounts, the loud noises, the bright colors. You know, it's not something that we can actively hide from, but we can control our response to it. So we take those 2 deep breaths, we assess, we evaluate, we step away from it. And you ask yourself the questions, you know, do I really like this, or do I want it because I think I'm going to miss out? Or do I like it because it got 2,000 likes on Instagram, or someone I admire is wearing it, but is it necessarily right for me? Like, you know, we need to ask ourselves all of these questions. And, you know, that's something that's very personal. As much as, yeah, we can get stylists and we can ask opinions of our friends, but it's more about your personal opinion. And you won't really get to the root of your opinion if you're just shopping super fast and on a whim. Or just shopping for an occasion or doing it last minute. You know, you need to consider shopping to be an important decision. And it's something that can have ramifications. So, you know, you need to take your time to process it.
Yeah, I think I'm on the other extreme. Like, I take days on end to make a purchasing decision, which is really funny. So I wanted to talk about trends a little bit and influence that we have. Like you just mentioned, you know, do we make purchasing decisions based on, you know, whether it got 200 likes or whether somebody else is wearing it or whether some celebrity is wearing it? In relation to, for example, I used to live in New York City for a little bit and everybody was wearing black, right? And And at that point, if I look back now, my wardrobe was black as well. It wasn't a conscious choice, but it just kind of just so happened. What is that?
So as humans, you know, we're social creatures. So we have an ingrained desire to belong that stemmed from, you know, the very early humans, you know, to connect and to be part of a group was essential for our survival. So this is something that has stayed with us as we've evolved, you know, throughout the years. And, you know, unintentionally, we do that with our clothing. We see that when people work together, you know, they start to develop a uniform dress code. When people are in relationships, they start to dress like their partners, with their siblings, with the people around them. And that's because there's a positive, of course, we want to connect more naturally, but there's a positive effect of it as well. When we are around similar people, when we see people that are almost like a mirror to us, we like them, we treat them more favorably, you know, because they are part of our in-group. And again, that bolsters our social identity. So the part of us that is, that we identify, the groups we identify, and how that represents who we are as well. So that's the reason why we end up kind of assimilating in that way, because we're social and because it has unintended benefits.
Is that restricting us in kind of making more connections and becoming more worldly, because it's limiting us at that level to kind of expand our relationships with people because of the way that they dress and things like that? Have you seen that happen?
I haven't seen that happen. I think we are able to adapt. So I think that if you were around more very like loud, extroverted, brightly colored dresses, you'll tend to shift that. But then if you move maybe the next year and you're around people who are only wearing black and more minimal, you'll probably find yourself gravitating towards that. You know, as humans, we have competing desires. We have desires to fit in, but we also have desires to stand out. So it's all about satisfying both. So we don't want to be a carbon copy of the people that are around us. We want to be able to still express things that make us unique. And I think we do that with, you know, the way we style things. Like this top is probably is mass produced, but maybe not everybody would wear it with this choker or these earrings or the way I styled it. Or, you know, those are the things that help us to be unique. And again, it's about sitting with yourself and your wardrobe and thinking about what makes you feel good and what makes you stand out and understanding what you actually like and adding your special touch to it.
Thank you for listening to the Ikibi podcast. If you enjoyed listening to our podcast, do consider supporting us by visiting www.ikibi.com. That is IKKIBI.com. We are a small sustainable business supporting contemporary Indian brands. Our platform is run by an all-women team handpicking the most beautiful, ethically made clothes and accessories from across the country all in one place. Our podcast is self-funded and will always be free to listen to. You supporting our work would mean a lot to us. Thank you for being here, and let's get back to our episode. Is there some, I mean, of course, there is some similarity to being a fashion stylist as well as a fashion psychologist. Do you do that as well professionally? Do you know of people who professionally do that, where it's, or do, is that what stylists do? Like, kind of have this conversation and have this relationship with the individual that they're shopping for and build on that?
I definitely think that psychology is in every part of fashion, in almost every single fashion job. Of course, stylists, they develop their relationship with their customer. What's different from a fashion psychologist is that they might not necessarily have the studies or the specific scientific insight to back it up. And it may be more, their opinions may be more valued on personal taste. Or maybe on the personal taste of their customer or client. But the psychologist's job is to understanding what drives those tastes, where are they coming from, and how can they change, and just understanding, you know, the motivations behind it. But I always say the same for like costume designers. I think there's even more synergy with fashion psychologists and costume designers, because they need to get into the mindset of their characters, you know, why they would choose to wear this, what is that conveying about them, how are they able to convey aspects of the character's beliefs and ideals without, if they don't even have any dialogue. And I think that's a big part of fashion psychology as well. So there is a lot of overlap. I've done some styling as well in my career. I was just on UK television show this morning and I had three lovely models and I was styling them and talking about the psychology behind their different outfits and how it can positively impact them and how they can use those tips going forward.
Where do you see where we stand currently in terms of fashion psychology being employed by companies, but also employed by individuals or used by individuals versus what needs to happen in the future? I'm talking from a sustainability point of view, but also like in terms of awareness of fashion psychology in the fashion industry.
Yeah, I think in general, from when I kind of started talking about it in 2016, I've definitely seen there's been a lot more interest. I know personally, I've been called upon way more than I have before in my life. And I'm just loving that more people are finding out about it, more people want to study and learn about it. There's people as well, like my peers, we're also, I find, generally speaking, the fashion psychologists amongst me as well would say that they are getting a lot of interest right now. And I think that's amazing. But I think that's also due to a societal shift. You know, we don't want to take all of the credit. I think people generally are more interested in the deeper meaning behind clothes. I think in the sustainability movement, a lot of people are realizing that you can't simply chastise everyone into being sustainable. You can't say you're killing the planet or show them all these videos of, you know, factories falling down and clothing waste and destroying the planet. Sadly, a lot of people will scroll past that and a lot of people don't want to be made to feel bad. So people are now looking at alternative ways that we can change behaviors, and fashion psychology can definitely sort that out and be a part of that. You know, we need to think about how we can change the language around sustainability, how we can focus more on shopping smarter and valuing what you have and the psychological benefits of rewearing and customizing and how that can personally benefit you on an individual level. I think that's what's going to really change habits and cause people to be sustainable without realizing they are being sustainable. That's what we need to do, have a complete mindset and habit change as a society. And that's not possible without psychology. You can tell people off as much as you want, but right now it's too easy to scroll past and to ignore. So fashion psychology really needs to be pivotal right now in the movement. And I think brands are starting to realize that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Ikibi is one of them. Up until now, we've been focusing our attention on creating awareness about sustainability and what it means in the fashion industry. And what we've realized is that we're at the same time, we're trying to promote product, but there is no, you know, relation right there. We're talking so much about the ill effects of it or trying to tell those stories in different ways. Whereas when people are kind of interacting with fashion, it's a lot more from an aesthetic point of view and understanding how that particular piece is going to look on them. And that's what's important as well. So it's kind of important to have that balance as a company.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think it's always in a tricky place. You know, I know people say that, how can you be sustainable if you're creating anything, you know, but I just don't think that's feasible. And I think being able to create art, which is fashion, fashion is art, it's, you know, it's decoration, it's adornment, it's beautiful. I think that's something that's important in our lives. But brands like yourself, I think, need to take on the role of, you know, educating the consumer, making sure that you're giving them the tools to make smart purchases, and you know that your piece that you're delivering to them is going to be something they're going to cherish, something that they can pass down to other family members, something that has a long value. You're showing them different ways they can style it and different ways they can wear it, so they can really start to think about this thing they're buying as being an investment rather than some aesthetic thing for a singular occasion.
Yeah. My next question is about what it actually means for us as individuals. I know that a lot of people will be intrigued and kind of want to know what their wardrobe means and what kind of a personality they have. Do you have some instances or some examples of certain styles that you've associated with different characteristics or something like that?
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, that's what they think psychology is. It's just psychology. Oh, you're this. And I think that there is some research into it. If you go on my Instagram, Shakayla Elise, you'll see like I did a post about people who tend to gravitate towards quiet luxury. They tend to be, you know, people that are more like hedonistic and they care more about satisfying their own desires, whereas loud luxury fans, they want to appear to be a certain way. They care more about signaling. There are studies that found like with certain shoes, you know, judgments that people make about people who wear certain shoes, they're quite accurate. And they found that people who wear ankle boots are a bit more assertive. People who wear uncomfortable shoes are a bit more like quiet and calmer. You know, there's a ton of research. I always say like read Big Dress Energy, like you'll find all of the insights in there. But the best way to figure out about who you are is to do something called wardrobe ethnography, which is about actually doing a deep dive into your wardrobe and understanding, like, what do I have here? Who was I when I bought these outfits? Do they still represent me? How do these things make me feel? What kind of person would I like think about if I saw all of these clothes together? You know, who was I when I was wearing this outfit? Like, do all of that research and insights for yourself, because we have the power as well, as much as we want people to tell us. And I'm happy to tell you, but nobody knows you more than you. You know, you are the people who are making these purchases and who are deciding to wear these things every single day. So I'm giving you the tools to ask yourself those questions so you can get closer to the answer and develop that personal understanding of the meaning that these clothes have in your life.
That's amazing. What do you think we can, I mean, apart from having this conversation and understanding our clothing a little bit deeper, how does this affect us positively, making these choices or kind of delving into this a little deeper?
I think it gives you a sense of control. It allows you to control like how you want to feel, how you show up in the world, how you want people to perceive you. All of those decisions can be made by just thinking a bit more carefully about how you're dressing yourself every day and the brands you're buying from and how you're consuming. I think a lot of times we go through life on autopilot and we just think about clothes as just something like brushing your teeth or brushing your hair, but you know, it's a decision, and every decision has a ramification, and you know, every action has a reaction. And the same is true for your clothes. You know, I decided I didn't get much sleep last night because I was doing my hair, and I decided that I needed to be comfortable because I know that being comfortable helps with your cognition. It allows you, when people wear comfortable clothing, they perform better on tests because it allows them to think. And as much as I might have wanted to wear maybe a brighter, louder top, I know that what I found important today is I wanted to give a good interview, be able to communicate effectively. So I picked something that would make me feel comfortable and allow me to perform. So do you see, I enable myself to have power in that way. So it's about just, yeah, giving yourself the tools and understanding how you can use clothes to just help you that extra bit every single day.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's such a powerful tool. I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, when you're telling us these stories, it's very, very interesting. And there's a lot of work that I probably need to do as well with my wardrobe. Can you tell us a little bit about where we can follow you? You know, if you have any resources that you can share with our listeners, because it's such a powerful tool that people can, you know, use in their lives. And I think it's really, really will help if you can share some resources with us.
Yes, of course. The best resource is my book, Big Dress Energy. You know, it's available on Amazon, on Kindle, at all good bookstores as well. I think if you want to know more, definitely read the book. But you can also, you know, if you're not a reader, you can listen to the podcast. So Big Dress Energy, the podcast. We have amazing guests and we talk about all of this stuff. But I have like stylists, psychologists, influencers, just activists talking about these same conversations. And Big Dress Energy, the podcast, is on Spotify and YouTube. We also have fashionispsychology.com. So that website is full of research, not just from me, but we have amazing writers and students and psychologists from around the globe, you know, sharing more up-to-date research about fashion psychology. But of course, you could follow us on Instagram, Fashion is Psychology. And I'm Shakayla Elise on Instagram and on TikTok.
Nice. Thank you so much, Shakayla, for having this conversation. I felt like we just kind of touched the surface level on this particular topic, and there's a lot more that we can get into. But those listening in, please follow Shakayla on all of these platforms and listen in if you're interested. But thank you so much, Shakayla, for taking the time and having this conversation. I hope you have a lovely day ahead of you.
You too. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day.
If you enjoyed this conversation, don't forget to subscribe to the Ikiri podcast, a space for discussion on living meaningful and fuller lives each day. The Ikiri podcast is a property edited and produced by the team at Ikiri.